The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
We are concluding this morning our introduction to our verses for the year from 1 Thessalonians. And I wanted to begin by talking about the benefit of walking. I don't know if any of you made resolutions about walking. Evidently, my doctor has, because he sends me notes all the time. He wants me to walk more. And I found this on the healthcare website, a whole list of benefits from physical walking. Obviously, it burns calories. And of course, the bad note is if you walk faster, you burn more calories. Strengthens your heart. It can reduce the risk of coronary heart disease by about 19% if you just walk 5 days a week. Can lower your blood sugar. I was surprised to learn this, that if after you eat, you take a walk, you lower your blood sugar. One study found that taking a 15-minute walk 3 times a day after breakfast, lunch, and dinner improved blood sugar levels more than taking a 45-minute walk at another point during the day. So if you see me out walking after I eat my bagel, I guess that's what I'm doing. It eases joint pain. I find it sometimes causes joint pain anyway, but it also can ease it, especially the development of arthritis and other things. Boosts the immune function. One study tracked 1,000 adults during flu season. Those who walked at a moderate pace for 30 to 45 minutes a day had 43% lower, fewer sick days and fewer upper respiratory tract infections overall. Their symptoms also were lessened if they did get sick. This was compared to adults in the study who were sedentary. Boosts your energy, of course. It improves your mood. It can extend your life. Walking can tone your legs. Now, you will never see my legs, all right? I'm just telling you, it's not happening, all right? I am not Wes Katagi, and I ain't coming in here. And I might wear a Hawaiian shirt. I'll do that, but don't ask me to wear shorts, all right? My bony white legs, as one girl said when I was baptizing her. I still baptized her. I just held her under a little longer. Anyway, tone... And it can inspire creative thinking. That's kind of an interesting side effect of walking. So if you see the staff and I walking around, maybe we're exploring some creative thinking. I wanted to tell you today about a friend of mine. His name, Mr. Kisby, Charles Kisby. We called him Chick. And he lived in Ocean City, New Jersey. It's an island, a beautiful resort area. And Mr. Kisby never used the postal system for his bills. He walked to the electric company. He walked to the bank. He walked to pay his gas bill. He did all that around the island. And when his wife developed dementia, she wanted to walk, and he walked with her. And, you know, I always admire people who stand by their loved one when they get ill. And he did that right to the end. He used to walk on the boardwalk, and he took a hammer with him, and he'd hammer down nails that were coming up on the boardwalk, and he just walked everywhere. He was a member of the Wildwood Country Club golf course. It was a private course, so you had to be a member to play there, and he'd drive down and get out of his car, and he'd walk. He'd walk 9 holes or 18 holes. When he got a little older, he put him on a cart, but he still walked. One day he went to the pro shop and they said, sorry, Mr. Kisby, we're not allowing walkers anymore. You have to take a golf cart. He said, I resign. Give me my money back. He never played golf again. He just loved to walk. And on his 100th birthday, he had worked for the South Jersey Electric Company. And there were people there representing the electric company who had never worked with him because he had retired before they started. He was 100 years old, and God took him into heaven. He also walked with God. Mr. Kisby was a member of the Baptist Church in Ocean City, but his family attended my church, so he'd come to our church occasionally. And When he did, he'd often look me right in the eye and he'd shake my hand and he'd go, "Jesus is our Savior." That was the pattern. That's what he did. You know, God walked in the garden. Isn't that interesting? Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Scripture says there's a man by the name of Enoch, and after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years, and Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more because God took him home. He didn't die. God says, "Hey, we're closer to my house than yours. Let's just go home." He walked with God. Noah walked with God. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. Have you read about the people of his time? It was a very sad, rebellious culture. But Enoch was blameless and righteous, and he walked with God. Would you and I be satisfied at the end of our lives if on our tombstone they wrote, "He walked with God, she walked with God"? Do you realize how powerful this is? Just the idea of walking with God. The Apostle Paul picks up on this in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we live or walk by faith, not by sight." The stuff that we see is real. It's real. We believe that. But we walk by things that we can't see because they're real too. We walk by faith. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives or walk in Him. You received Christ as Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. You took Him as your own. You personally said, "Yes, He is my Savior and my Lord." Well, then how do I live this thing called a Christian life? Just walk in Him. It's not any more complicated than that. What a beautiful description of how important it is that we walk in Him. And it seems to me that our target for the year, our verses for the year, kind of summarize the will of God and walking with God. To be joyful, to be prayerful, to be thankful. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All circumstances. Give thanks. Give thanks. Some believe that because these are in the plural, the commands are in the plural, all you all be joyful, all you all be prayerful, all you all be thankful, that this is describing a worship service. It's instructions by Paul for what worship services ought to be like. When I told Ed that this week, he kind of raised his eyebrows at me, you know? And that makes sense, doesn't it? That when we live a life of worship, and all of life is worship, it includes being joyful. It includes being prayerful. It includes being thankful. So today we're running to the Thanksgiving Psalm, Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks, a psalm for grateful praise. The Hebrew word here speaks of confessing as true, of acknowledging truth by giving thanks. It's a very strong term that way. So let's read it together, will we? "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Let's pray. Dear Father, today we want to learn from this old hymn, this old psalm of praise. We ask You, Lord, to stir in our hearts a genuine desire to grow in giving You thanks. To be more thankful when we leave than when we came in. and that our lives would just have that perfume of thankfulness about them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, as we look at the psalm, what does it teach us about giving thanks? The foundation is in God's identity, that's in verse 3. The location is in God's temple for the ancient Jewish worshipers in verse 4. The motivation is in God's character, that's verse 6. And the demonstration is in God's people, and I save that for the last, even though it's verses 1 and 2. All right, so we're beginning with a foundation. Why should we be given thanks? Because of who God is, His identity. No is the command that begins this verse 3. It is a very strong command. Come to know and recognize and affirm these truths about God. That the Lord is our God. That the Lord is our creator. That the Lord is our master. That the Lord is our shepherd. This is who He is. That the Lord, Yahweh, that's the way English translations do it. They put it in all capitals. That's that very sacred name. It's so sacred to the ancient Hebrews, they wouldn't pronounce it. It's the name God gave to Moses. I am that I am. That's what Yahweh means. I am. I'm self-existent. He always has been. He always is. He always will be. You can't say that. I can't say that. But God can. The Lord Yahweh is God. Elohim, rather interesting. It's a plural in Hebrew, which is kind of interesting. Elohim. There is a plurality in the Godhead we learn from Scripture. There's a Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three co-equals, but they're one God. Know that the Lord is God. Some of us remember the story of a guy whose name means that. My God is the Lord. Elijah. What an interesting man. He comes out of nowhere. I mean, we ought to do a study in Elijah sometime. I mean, he's just an interesting guy. You don't know anything about him. All of a sudden, he bursts on the scene. And eventually, you know, he comes on to take on 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And they go at it all day, and nothing happens. He kind of mocking them, actually. And maybe your God's busy. Oh, he can't make it, you know. And Baal isn't God. So he bows down and just asks after they douse the altar, an altar he rebuilt. And then he just prays a simple prayer and fire comes down from heaven. And what did the Hebrew people start shouting? The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And that's exactly what the psalmist is telling us. Know that the Lord is God. We renounce any other gods because they're not gods at all. The Lord, He is God. The Lord is also our creator. He made us, and we are His. That's why we have a Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We celebrate that God is creator. What a basic, wonderful truth. God created out of nothing the whole universe, and then He fashioned us out of the dirt. Kind of interesting, isn't it? This is the basis of sound theology. We are not self-made. And we acknowledge and honor our Creator in Psalm 100. I feel so bad for people who believe the lie of evolution. They've lost so much. They think they're just by chance. No, no, no. There's a personal God who wove them together in their mother's womb. He's our creator. He's also our master. We are His people. That means we're accountable to Him. We are His people. We're in His covenant relationship with Him. And we're the sheep of His pasture. Don't you love that? Isn't it just wonderful today to say, man, Jesus is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll lack nothing. My shepherd's more than able to take care of me. He's more than able to take care of you. He's more than able to take care of this universe. And the whole universe is held together by His powerful word. And Jesus Christ, the Father and the Spirit together. It's a wonderful summary of who God is. I'm so glad we sang that song, 10,000 Reasons. You know, 10,000 hallelujahs. I mean, we could just keep going forever. And we will. Just celebrating who God is. It's the foundation of our giving thanks. Now, I want to introduce you to a man. Here he is. Here he is. His name is Paul Shuro. At the Mall of America this week, he dared to wear this shirt. He was threatened with eviction from the mall if he didn't remove the shirt because it was offending people. The T-shirt also had a message stating that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is associated with religion and it's offending people. A mall security guard is heard saying to him. Shuro attempted to explain to the security guard that his T-shirt wasn't about religion, but about eternal life. But the security guard told him, it's the same thing. All we are asking you to do is to take off your shirt, the guard said. And when Shuro insisted that he didn't speak and he hadn't said anything to anyone except to wear the shirt, the guard insisted that the only option he had were to take the shirt off or leave. If you want to shop here, you need to take that shirt off, the security guard declared to Shuro forcefully as he kept inquiring why his shirt was offensive. Again, sir, it is religious soliciting. There is no soliciting on the property that is private property, the guard replied. Shuro responded that he is a U.S. citizen and he knows the Constitution. Eventually, another guard came up and kind of diffused the situation. But this is the society we're living in. Just to declare that the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God, now has become offensive. But it's the way to freedom, it's the way to rejoice, it's the way to forgiveness. We can't help ourselves. We have to say it. We want to live it. So the foundation of our giving thanks is in the identity of who God is. The location for the ancient Israelites is in God's temple. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. They're commanded to enter the city through the gates. They're commanded to enter into the courts of the temple. The gates guard the city. These are the same words that were sung to Jesus on Palm Sunday, Psalm 118. As they're coming into the city and they're singing these same songs. The courts are His courts. They're the courts of His temple. There was an outer court for the Gentiles. There's an inner court for the Jewish believers. And that's the court that they're signaling here. They were clean and they came to the court to give praise to God, to throw praise up to Him, and to bless or to kneel before His name. That's what those words mean. Should we build a temple today? Well, it's not wrong to build a temple, but you're a temple. The New Testament says your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer today, you live in a temple. And you can worship God anywhere and anywhere and everywhere. You have the right to do that, and we should be doing that. We should be living a life of worship and giving thanks to God for the temple we're living in. It's set apart by God, a place for worship. And that's why we want to live holy lives. That motivates us. I am blessed by this fella. He wrote a book, Awakening Pure Worship, Cultivating a Closer Friendship with God. His dad was going to speak this morning, but his dad got sick. Jeff Deo. He says in the book, and it's a wonderful book, in the end, my great desire is to guide you and those you love into discovering God, either again or for the first time, or at least to deeper levels than ever before, together in tangible, everyday ways. It's true. God is meant to be our constant companion, the one we speak with in two-way conversation constantly, both in the secret place and throughout the day. His Spirit is actually meant to empower us constantly and involve us continually in supernatural encounters moment by moment. Our journey with God, this side of heaven, is meant to be a wonderful yet incomplete teaser for all that we will experience when we finally graduate into literal face-to-face relationship with God in eternity. All creation is groaning for that great day. But even now, the stage is set for relationship, for friendship, for fellowship, for love between a powerful, omnipotent God and his beloved creation. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Thanksgiving's a part of it. Thanksgiving and worship fuels that relationship with God. And it's so blessed. What's the motivation? Well, once again, we're back to God's character. Similar to the first point, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations, verse 5 tells us. He's good. He's good. If Ed was up here, he'd say, he's good. He's always good. It's the Hebrew word tov, 73 times in the Psalms. When God created this universe, he looked on it and he said, it's good. It's tov. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. My lexicon says, people are things that promote, enhance, protect, and preserve life. Now, today, because it's freezing cold out there, you'll have to take this by faith, but in the summer when it's really hot, you're going to love the shade of a tree. And the shade of a tree is one picture of goodness that's used in Scripture. It's also pictured as the appearance of a wonderful flock for a shepherd. It's good. Or the taste and smell of good food. It's good. That doesn't include Brussels sprouts, I've learned. Unless they have bacon on them, then maybe it's okay. But God is good. And he works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Celebrate his goodness. This is a short list of God's perfections, but it's a good one. His love endures forever. His love. He's merciful. He's loving. It's full of emotion. This word really is full of emotion. And the best part is it's forever. It endures forever. 26 times in Psalm 136, it says, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Aren't you glad you didn't wake up this morning and God said, sorry, I'm out of love. Don't have any more love available. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? That'd be such a shocking thing. But it's never going to happen. Because God's love for you endures forever. He loves you right now as much as he's going to love you a million years from now. Isn't that beautiful? It's not dependent on your performance either. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. And he's faithful. He's faithful. Now, the interesting thing is faithfulness continues to all generations, can be translated truth or that he's faithful. It's both. I don't think you can choose whether it's his truth endures forever or his faithfulness endures forever. Because he's truthful, his faithfulness endures forever. Because he's faithful, his truth endures forever. You see, you don't really need to separate. It's just a wonderful Hebrew word 22 times in the Psalms. And it's just wonderful to celebrate his love, his goodness, and his faithfulness. We're called to meditate on these perfections. Now, my life group is reading a book by A.W. Tozer, and it's one of those books, I think I've read it, I don't even know how many times I've read the book. But every time I read it, I scratch my head and go like, what's he saying? But look at this quote. The very ransomed children of God themselves, why do they know so little of that habitual conscious communion which the Scriptures seem to offer? Why do they know so little of it? And he answers it. The answer is our chronic unbelief. Faith enables our spiritual sense to function. Where faith is defective, the result will be inward insensibility and numbness towards spiritual things. So build our faith, Lord. Get us worshiping you. And our faith will grow and will be motivated to give you more and more thanks. I tell you, I have a fear. I really do. This is an honest fear. that I'm going to end up in a nursing home someday. And I'm going to be sitting in a corner griping and complaining. In fact, this year I chose as my verse for the year, do everything without complaining and grumbling. That's my personal verse for the year. You know, I don't want people to come in and say, who's that guy over there? Oh, he's a pastor. Really? I don't want that to happen. And how am I going to prevent that? I'd be thankful. Keep giving thanks to God. Keep giving praise for who he is. I've even known brothers and sisters who did have trouble with their minds, who would still come right back when you talk about the Lord. They'd come right back to giving thanks. So what's the demonstration like? Well, verses 1 to 2, just a great introduction to this psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. We begin with shouting. What a great thing. A loud cry like a trumpet call. It's sometimes used for a call for war and gathering God's people together when they blew the shofar, the ram's horn, is pictured here. I asked Ed, and he said, you're allowed to shout. Amen. Amen. You can shout. There are times when we should shout. It's appropriate. Spurgeon says, never will the world be in its proper condition till with one unanimous shout it adores the only God. That's true. Hallelujah, we get to shout. There's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day's coming. And it'll be a big celebration. And then there's serving. Worship or serve the Lord. Any kind of work can be here, but worship might be a good translation of the word. Do you know that the word's even used for politicians in Psalm 2:11? Really? Yes. Performed with gladness, like a sacred wedding. Gladness, with mirth and heartfelt honoring and serving God. We used to sing an old song, there is joy in serving Jesus. Joy, joy, joy that throbs within my heart. We're living in harmony with God. He's our creator, he's our shepherd. It's only right that we'd serve him with gladness and then singing. Now, I know some of us have to take this by faith. I get it. We make joyful noises to the Lord, but it's okay. It's joyful songs. It's jubilation. I love that translation. Jubilation. Great joy in singing. I love how the Word of God propels us, according to Colossians 3:16, to sing. And Ed has promised me, and I promised him, we won't sing anything I couldn't preach. And I shouldn't preach anything we couldn't sing. And then the Spirit gets involved, according to Ephesians. It's the Spirit of God. So the Word of Truth and the Spirit of Truth inspire our singing. Isn't it amazing how just a simple song has sometimes changed your day or my day? Isn't it amazing when God wakes me up with a nice song? It might be as simple as, Jesus loves me. But it changes my day. It changes my outlook. It propels me to give God thanks. And so we want to fill our lives with truth and with joy and with giving thanks. Here's the summary that one commentator gives us. Believers should praise God enthusiastically and serve him with delight because in his goodness and faithful love, he made them and takes care of them. That's really a summary of Psalm 100. What a great psalm it is. What a wonderful psalm. So I want to ask, how can we infuse our lives with an attitude of gratitude? How can we do it? Well, here's some suggestions. Worship with others. I remember a day when my sons were dating some girls who became their wives. And we were at Betsy's parents' house, and I had this crazy idea that we should go around the room and thank each other for what God had done in our lives through them. And we just started and went around the room and were giving thanks for each other, and it was a wonderful time. I mean, we went on for over an hour just thanking each other for what God had done through our lives. You know, maybe you need to have a celebration like that with your family. Men, if you really want to shock your wives for Valentine's Day, actually write them a Thanksgiving note. This is what I'm thankful for about you. Ladies, you can do it too. It's all right, you know. How about if we actually take praise breaks? Praise breaks. Just stop and give praise to God. I don't want to embarrass my wife, but I will. This week, we're celebrating the birth of our twins, our firstborn, Timothy and Philip. And they're 38 years old. Betsy had them when she was 2, so, you know. Timothy was in position to be born for months. And he enjoyed that because he was kicking his brother, who was up in the top of the womb, and he's letting him have it. And, you know, when they had those battles inside, it's pretty entertaining. Yeah, whatever. So while Timothy's being born, Philip has hiccups, which is hilarious. And then as Tim's born, then Philip's laying transverse in the womb. By God's amazing grace, we had a midwife there. And we learned to love midwives, didn't we, Bets? The midwife reached up. She said, I think I got his shoulder. And she pulled him into position. And 13 minutes after Tim was born, Philip was born. But when he got pulled into position, Betsy's laying there in front of God and everybody. You know, this is just such an amazing whatever miracle. She's laying there. She says, praise the Lord. That's the most sincere praise the Lord I've ever heard. You can take praise breaks. You can stop along the road. You can be anywhere and just give praise and thanks to God. It's a good thing. Make a Thanksgiving list. Just sit down and give thanks to God for who he is and what he's done. I think this will change our lives. It'll help us to walk with the Lord. Though youths grow faint and weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord, or some translations, they hope in the Lord, shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Yeah. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait upon the Lord. Lord, thank you for infusing us with a holy desire today to jubilantly give thanks to you. Thank you, Lord, for Psalm 100. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that we have sung today and the song we're going to conclude with today. And Ed's going to pray us out because it only seems right that our worship leader would pray us out on a day when we're giving thanks to you. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.